This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Lot to get to today, Joe. I want to, though, start with you. You said you have a Gene Hackman connection.
Yes. So Gene Hackman, great actor, died overnight or yesterday?
Yesterday, maybe. Discovered yesterday.
Great movies like The Replacements and Runaway Jury. Those are the ones I remember him from because those were, you know, his most recent. But you may know him. He and I have a connection. We're part of a very tight-knit community. We both appeared on early seasons of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He was in season 5, I was in season 7.
Oh.
A year apart.
I was expecting something with a little more of a connection.
I told you the payoff's not going to be there. So, me, Joe Macy, Gene Hackman, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives list of cast members, and... but sad to see him go at 95.
I was ready for, like... You know, we were in the same room together.
No.
One time.
I interviewed him on my college radio show. No, nothing interesting.
Oh, I was going to say you did.
Nothing fun like that. No, we were both on episodes. Not even the same episode, but we were both on episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives in the early seasons of
the
show.
All right. Well, there you go. What do you think? We just talked with Brad.
Sorry for the letdown.
That's all there is to say. What do you think of the interview we just did with Brad Garrett, these train robbers?
Yeah, I mean, was it 1880?
No, it's 2025, and in 2024, there were, I mean, what was the number that we just spit out there with Brad? How many thousand train robberies just in the last year? 65,000 train heists last year?
Isn't that crazy? Because you don't think of, I mean, I know trains are still widely used to, but you just don't think of trains, like, unless there's... Unfortunately, like a train accident or something, I don't think of trains on a regular basis.
No. Well, some
even
people,
when I go over tracks,
all they do is think about trains.
Yes, I know.
Train people vary into trains.
That's true.
For everybody else, probably not so much. 65,000 train robberies.
That's crazy.
Am I wrong in saying that if somebody came up to you, you know, if you asked somebody what they do, if you found out that somebody, you know, hey, what do you do to make ends meet? I rob trains.
Like, how profitable is that? And apparently, it's very profitable.
No, but is that not the coolest thing? Like,
cool.
I don't care how much. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean,
I'm a train robber.
If you told me, like, you hop on the train while it's moving.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that is cool.
You do all sorts of whatever you do, robbing trains.
That's something.
Easily the coolest.
I mean, I'd say, like, are you Gene Hackman's age? Because, again, train robberies, that seems like such an old school, like,
sure.
Westerns would cover this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Seems like no one does that anymore.
Right.
Apparently, a lot of people do. And if I ever met somebody and they're like, yeah, rob trains, I'd be like, wow. Please tell me more.
See, until this story, I would say, what, are you also a pirate?
No.
Like, but, yeah, obviously, this is something going on.
Pirate, you hear about that a lot, not as cool.
So you put train robbers ahead of pirate?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I might agree with you on that.
I think it's because, like, the train robber, you don't hear about it a lot.
No.
You don't see it a lot. Like, you hear about a lot of these cases of piracy in areas of the world, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a bad thing. That's definitely a problem.
Also, just a big question, like, shouldn't these trains be more secure than they were 40, 50 years ago? Like, the door's still open as it's moving, you can jump on?
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean?
You know, or how'd they rob the train in Breaking Bad, right? You know, oh, if something stops the train in the middle, like, oh, my car broke down on the train tracks, like, the guy stops it, flags it down, it's, you know, and they go underneath, hook it up, they're robbing the train.
Never saw Breaking
Bad. Crazy.
Yeah.
Never seen Breaking Bad?
No. I know.
You watch so much junk. It's the greatest show ever. Never watched it. No, I just thought that was fascinating. talking with Brett about that.
And the things that are on these trains, again, just, I did not know these type of, I guess you should know, like, everything. It's just like semi-trucks, you know, they can transport it on trains. It's very, it's...
Yeah. Well, I did love Brad Garrett saying that, you know, according to what he reads, that the Nike shoes, Nike is a very popular brand of shoe with the youth. That's, you know, just, yes, it is.
You just read that, Brad?
Yes, it is. That's up and with it this morning. I mentioned we got a lot to get to this morning. Here's a question for you, because this was a headline I saw. Constellation Brands, headquartered in Rochester, by the way. But Morgan Stanley has downgraded Constellation Brands as Mexico tariffs loom. Of course, Constellation Brands is the big importer of Modelo.
Yes.
And to me, it brought the question, you know, with these tariffs, and we talked about this a little bit when this first came up a few weeks ago, of how Labatt, you know, they're, a year ago, this would have a big impact on the beer people drink in Western New York. Well, now Labatt's made in New York down the 90 at the Genesee Brewery.
So you'll notice no difference.
It's all made here. Does it matter? Like, if you're a Modelo drinker, would it matter to you if they started to brew Modelo somewhere in the U.S. to avoid the tariff? Or because you're drinking Modelo, does it have to, is part of the appeal that it's made in Mexico?
I'm just speaking for me as if I were a Modelo drinker. As long as it carries the same taste, I don't care if it's brewed in my backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. I mean, maybe there are some people who like that authentic, hey, this is, you know, Mexican water was used to make this beer. I don't know. But for me, if the, because that does happen sometimes, you know, there have been famous beer brands that have gone under because they changed the brewery or they changed something in the recipe. I'm not saying that's what they're saying. And the taste is off. But as long as you can't tell the difference, just like with Labatt, I can't see it being a, being an issue.
I wonder about that. Like, how many, it's the whole reason to me over the last year or so, like, why Modelo? You know, why is Modelo, of all beers, like, skyrocketing to number one of beer sold? And it has to be more than just the taste. And I say why Modelo too, because Modelo, to me, Modelo for bottles is like the last beer I would buy. Because it's got that annoying gold foil on the top of it. That always gets in the way, and you got to peel that off too. Why would I want to deal with that?
I got to buy something else. I have seen more cans of Modelo than anything.
Well, now you do.
Yeah.
But before it boosted its popularity, it was mostly the bottles, I think, around here. Yeah. We'd only see bottles. Now the cans are everywhere too. And people buy it like crazy. You see it everywhere.
Well, I mean, it was a top three, and then Bud Light took a hit in popularity, making the way for Modelo, and they've been able to sustain that.
5 years ago, it wasn't even the most popular Mexican beer in America.
That's right.
I mean, Corona had it. But, like, why did this, and does the image have something to do with it? Is it the ads? Is it the gold foil that I hate? Maybe everyone else loves it, and that's the reason why it's selling so much?
I don't think it's the gold foil, just because, like I said, I've seen so many Modelo cans. I forgot about the gold foil until you just said something.
Yeah. Well, I still have Modelo bottles I have to return, so I got the gold foil, like, staring me in the face every time I
recycle. So you don't like the gold foil, but you've got it. You put up with it.
I put up with it. I didn't buy it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Somebody brought it over.
Fair enough. I mean... You know, to be, if we're talking beer here, I mean, I like Modelo. Like I said, I mean, if it tastes the same, I'd still drink it.
That's 803-0930. You want to weigh in anything we're talking about here? 803-0930. Send a text to our text board, too, where somebody said, I drank Modelo, love it, don't care where it's brewed. Yeah. I'm with Joe. In fact, I would love it if it's brewed in my backyard. Right? that would be Modelo thing, though, I think it depends on if are people drinking it in part because it's brewed in Mexico. Like, it's, you know, it's like, why does another nitro stout not take over Guinness? Is it just because of the taste, or do people like the, you know, quote unquote authenticity of drinking a Guinness?
Yeah, or Guinness is just so,
like, is Guinness that much better than Murphy's?
More people know Guinness than Murphy's, I think, has a lot to do with it.
Sure.
It's all about branding for Guinness. Modelo.
But a big part of that branding is, yeah, you know, St. James Gate, or, you know, brewed in Dublin.
I mean, Modelo is a, I know this isn't what we're talking about, but I have to just say, it is impressive because I mean, it used to just be all you heard about was Corona, maybe Dos Equis here and there. And Modelo really just, it's like they took the two sales of that and just skyrocketed.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it happened.
It's also a good beer. Like, to be honest, it's a good beer and you don't need a lime. So that might have something to do with it.
You don't think you do? I do.
I've had Modelo without a lime. I've never had a Corona without a lime.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's the same beer, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
But you know what's also, I've never been offered a lime when I've gotten a Modelo out.
Do you know how the lime started, or at least the urban myth of how the lime started?
Give it to me.
A bar somewhere down, maybe Texas, I don't know, somewhere down by the border.
Yeah.
Some guy at this bar made a bet. I bet you I can get people to order a lime with their beer.
Come on.
Put a lime in somebody, gave him a Corona, and then, it spiraled like this to where, okay, now somebody else like, hey, well, he got a lime. I want a lime. You get a lime with the Corona. Next time the guy comes in the bar, everyone's ordering a lime with their beer. Then Corona notices that this one bar is selling way more Corona than anywhere else. They go there to figure out what's happening. They see the lime in the beer.
I mean, it could be that simple.
That's the urban myth that I've been told. I mean, it could be the actual story. I don't know. But that's what I've been told. And I'm sticking to that story.
Speaking of, I've never had a loaded Modelo. I've had several loaded Coronas. So,
You mean loaded?
Corona, lime, shot of tequila.
Okay.
Mix it, drink it.
Wow. It's a lot.
Popular. At one point.
Never done it. I've always had Dos Equis, though. Always get a lime. Any Mexican beer I have, I always have a lime with it.
I'm not sure I've ever had Dos Equis.
Really?
I've had Corona, I've had Modelo. I don't know if I've ever had Dos Equis. I can't say no, because sometimes you just drink what's there. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember ever drinking Dos Equis.
I like that. I think if all three of them, that's my preferred.
I mean, Corona is like the keystone of Mexico.
Is it?
That's what I've heard. Like, when you're down there, it's... I've never been to Mexico.
We're just spreading urban beer myths.
That's what I've heard. I mean, as a fan of Keystone, I'm just saying that I've heard it's the Keystone in
that Mexico. I might have to give that another run.
Keystone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I'm in my, my acceptance phase, where I'm just Jenny Light all the time, like that's my number one go-to, maybe I give Keystone another shot.
They don't make my favorite Keystone anymore.
Ice?
Yeah, they stopped making Keystone Ice.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
I don't know why they would. That would be the only beer I would
make. I'd stop making the actual regular Keystone and just make light and ice.
Exactly. It's like when you see Miller High Life making a comeback. Like, I didn't know they still had the recipe.
Right.
What's going on? Like, Coors the Banquet beer. Like, what are you doing here?
I haven't had a regular Miller since 2018.
It's like seeing a train robber in 2025.
Exactly.
I thought you were a thing of the past. I don't know. I just thought, if they were to, not saying they are, but if they were to stop importing and make it here, I don't know if you'd see any impact.
Yeah. I mean, I would say there probably are a small group of people. You just don't advertise it. But unfortunately, in 2025, people are going to find out.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, people will find out.
Made a lot of news yesterday, and we were talking about it with Sal Capaccio today. The NFL plans to use its virtual measuring system to determine first downs in 2025. Now, this was met with a lot of, Bills fans will like this one. Bills fans, or I saw this a lot online yesterday. Finally, welcome to the new century, for the NFL to use the electronic measuring system. Joe, I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I don't like it. It doesn't solve the problem. The problem was never the measurement. The measurement, if we're talking about the Bills and Chiefs game, that saw them go short of the first down on fourth down.
I get what you're saying.
The measurement
right.
would have always put them short of the first down. The measurement was never an issue. The spot of the ball is the issue. And this does nothing to resolve it.
No. And there's not a chip in the ball, right? Did I hear Sal say that?
No chip. And think about it this way. If you put a chip in the ball, what good does it do?
Well, you make the ball a chip. I know that sounds stupid.
No, but would literally have to.
Yeah. Like the ball itself.
You would have to have chips throughout the entire ball, because if any point of the ball crosses, it's a first down. So if you had a chip in the middle of the ball, but the nose of the ball crosses, but the chip says it's over here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, then the chip's wrong.
I think in 2025, I'm guessing there's something you could do to make sure the whole ball is covered in the computer.
I just don't see what's wrong with everything. The officials spotting the ball, here's what you have. You have everybody watching these games on a computer monitor at a war room somewhere, especially when it comes to the playoffs and you're the only game going on.
Right.
Have these people who are watching this on a million different screens from a bunch of different angles. I mean, they do it with when they pick up flags for penalties they call, and then the flag gets picked up because somebody goes in the ref's ear. Hey, not a penalty. Just have, the ball should actually be put right here, a little to the left. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, that's what people wanted. Video to spot the ball.
The officials will still spot the ball by hand based on what they think. And that's the whole issue with the thing. And in fact, I think you're doing it wrong. You know, I mentioned a sale to me. Now you're getting rid of the chain gang.
Well, they're still there for backup.
Yeah. Text me when you see the chain gang come out in a game. I'll flip to the channel immediately, Joe, because I don't think we'll see it anymore now that you have this. It's just like the Yankees, you know, allowing beards and everything like that. They've got a designated hitter in the NL now over in baseball.
Oh, yeah, since COVID.
You're just getting rid of a quirky part of the game that I kind of liked.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me going with designated hitter in the NL, because I was very much against that, because like you said, it was cool when an AL team would come to an NL park and have to have their pitcher bat, but I digress. Getting rid of the chain gang, if you did this right, but again, this isn't right. It still has, I thought we were going to eliminate human error. That's not what they're doing. And the same complaints.
The chain gang, when's the chain gang ever wrong? Has anyone ever said that?
Well, they're not the ones spotting the ball.
Exactly, but like the chain, no one's ever complained that the spot of the first down was inaccurate from the chain gang.
They used a 9.5-yard chain.
Like, no one's ever said that.
Right, no.
So it's solving nothing except maybe speeding it up, but it's the one little, you know, so here comes the chain gang.
Yeah.
And they're pulling. And he got it. You know, I like that little bit of drama in the game.
Speaking of a chip in the ball, that's kind of the football equivalent of in tennis when you challenge, did the ball get the line or not? And the fans go, oh, and then you see, no, it was out. We're losing. We're losing that. Yeah, I think this is kind of a nothing. And I do have to say, I pointed this out on Twitter, Yahoo had a picture of the chain gang, you know, for their story. And they used a picture from the Metrodome. So I thought that was interesting. In 2025, Yahoo used a picture of the chain game from the Metrodome.
Use those stock images while you have them. On our text board, someone said it's Pacifico that's the very popular beer in Mexico, which rings true. Much like I've had a $13 Genesee Light and Jenny Cream Ale at the arena here, I've had a $12 Pacifico at CMAC before. So I've paid a lot of money for all these cheap beers.
I have had a Pacifico. I can't remember if I liked it or not.
Do you like Modelo?
Yes.
Then you do.
Yeah, I think I had Pacifico when I was in California, actually.
Pretty sure it's the same thing, just in a different bottle. We got a lot more coming up. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Thanks for hanging out with us for the next 30 minutes or so. 803-0930 to join us this morning, talking about a number of things we were talking about. You know, Modelo and some of the problems that its importer might have if tariffs are here. The lime. Someone said they put the lime on top of the beer to wipe bacteria off the bottle. Okay, there's another.
And for it's also why they put in, like, theory. Diners and stuff, they put lemon in water because they thought that it cleaned the water. That's how that all started.
Really?
I, again, heard that somewhere.
No lemon, please.
In your water?
Yeah.
Do you like them? Love lemon water.
Really?
Yeah.
You know why I don't like it?
Why's that?
The seed gets in the bottom of the... I end up sucking up a seed.
With all the ice, it's very difficult. I grew up drinking a lot of 7-Up, so I love that lemon-lime taste.
No, I do too. I'm more lime than lemon, though. If they wanted to put a lime in my water, have at it. I've never thought to ask. You think they do that for me?
If they have a lime.
Like a lemon? No, lime.
It is weird.
See what they say?
Not one, the other. I mean, I like lime with my alcoholic beverages, like a gin and tonic.
Yeah,
a Corona.
Why not a water? Would go good. I like lime sparkling water.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Makes sense. Somebody else said the, because I mentioned I hate the gold foil. Someone said the it makes it more sanitary. Modelo is the only beer I drink because the foil peel seal makes it more sanitary and healthier to drink right from the bottle instead of popping a standard bottle cap and drinking from a filthy, unwashed bottle top. I always assume the alcohol took care of that.
Yeah, I got
anything
nothing.
I'm getting in is just being killed.
I had a buddy in college, and I would always laugh if we had bottles, which rarely did we have bottles in college. It was usually cans. But
really?
Oh, yeah. We were
the other way around.
Until senior year, cans. Now, I don't know. Has the statute of limitations run out? Can I say this?
If you were walking around, cans. But anything in house?
I'll say this on the air. I hope I don't get fired. If I'm not here tomorrow, you know why. We lived on Crescent, and the train came through our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have glass bottles. I don't think I have to go any further with the story.
You're more despicable to me than if you were robbing the train.
Okay. just... It wasn't just me, Brian.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It would have been a way cooler story you found out this morning. You could have found out a way to steal some stuff.
Yeah, I should have seen what was going behind us.
I don't know. Well, lots else to get to. The train heist and more. You can check out the podcast of the show if you missed any of this. We had talked about this before. A lot of things that we talk about and disagree with, I can see your point of view.
I was waiting for this.
This is maybe the one issue we've had. I cannot see at all your point of view or anyone who has the opposing point of view. I am as stubborn as an ox when it comes to this particular topic.
Yeah.
You might remember the Supreme Court case in Ohio that was decided in the summer of last year, where the Supreme Court justices in the state of Ohio ruled that bones are a natural part of a chicken, so consumers should be on guard for them, even in wings labeled as boneless. You remember this, the boneless wing lawsuit that they said customers who order boneless wings should expect bones to be in them.
The jury agreed with me.
Yes. The Supreme Court. A jury was not there. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the restaurant that was being sued by a guy who choked on a bone while eating boneless wings, who said, "What the heck's a bone doing in my boneless wings? You should be held responsible." Well, a state senator out of the Columbus area in Ohio introduced now, this week, a Senate bill that would set statewide standards in lawsuits regarding an injury caused by food. He's dubbing it the Boneless Wing Bill by Senator Bill DeMora. It would mandate the juries determine the liability of a restaurant or food supplier by deciding whether the injured person had a reasonable expectation that the food did not contain a substance that is injurious to human health. A reasonable expectation test means what would the average person think about a certain situation. He said, "I don't know what normal person in the United States doesn't think that boneless means without bones." And I applaud Mr. Bill DeMora for this. I am fully in favor of this bill. I hope it becomes law because this ruling still sticks with me as one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Okay. I will go back to, I don't think there's anything wrong with a customer expecting a boneless chicken wing to be boneless. I want to make that perfectly clear. Where I have an issue is blaming the restaurant. Because many restaurants, a lot of restaurants that we probably know and love, depend on suppliers to provide them things like nuggets and chicken fingers and stuff like that. If this came from a supplier was not prepared in the kitchen, then it's on the supplier. It is not on the restaurant, and their hands should not be tied for something that they pay for and expect their supplier to take care of. It's like if you pay for your house, home security for your house, and your house still gets burglarized, right? That's not your fault. That's the people you paid to protect your house. Not that you would ever sue yourself. That's a bad analogy, but you get the point I'm trying to make.
I just don't know why you're letting a restaurant off the hook. The restaurant prepares the food. If I
a boneless wing, though? They're not back there breading it.
That's their own problem. If you choose not do it yourself and leave it in the hands of somebody else, that's your choice as a restaurant.
I would say, I would guess that a majority of restaurants do it that way.
Okay, you are right. But that doesn't, you are still on the hook for the food that you serve your customers. It is a reasonable expectation.
So the supplier's off the hook?
No. If the restaurant wants to take it up with the supplier, that's a separate issue.
So why not cut out the middleman?
No. It's the restaurant. It's an issue with the restaurant, too.
You are an attorney's best friend.
It's an issue with the restaurant, too. Because the restaurant, you can't just let the restaurant off the hook. You can't just have a restaurant say, well, you know, I don't know. I got it from whoever. Go after my supplier. I got these. He's a very reputable guy. He sold me these chicken fingers out of a suitcase in the back of his Buick LeSabre.
That's not the story here.
I can't trust this guy?
That's not the story here. We don't know if the supplier was...
You should have, and nobody has ever ordered chicken fingers and eaten them very carefully because they think, oh, it's chicken, it might have a bone. You've never done that. You've never done that with a chicken nugget. You've never done that with a boneless chicken wing, whatever you want to call it.
I don't disagree with you, but it would make sense that a bone might be in your chicken.
Not if you ordered
a real chicken
prepared from a restaurant. You're right. It would make sense that a bone might appear in your chicken. If you get a family pack of chicken breasts from the store,
yeah,
uncooked, and you take them home, what do? I trim them up. They still got a little fat in it. A lot of times, maybe one out of every two or three times I have that pack, one of them has a little bone-like thing stuck in them because it's not prepared. You are preparing it. The supermarket, whatever, is selling you the food wrong. You have to cook it and prepare it. Part of preparing it is removing the bones from it,
right,
and getting rid of all this stuff.
If I'm a restaurant owner, the supplier does that for me.
But if you're a restaurant owner, your job is to prepare the food and make sure that food is ready to eat for your customers.
Well, then I'm not gonna serve boneless wings.
But then maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. Or you trust that. Or you have to find someone you absolutely trust, or you do it yourself. Your job is to make sure your food is edible.
If you want 100% boneless, then get a plant-based something that tastes like chicken. That's the only way to do it.
That's unreasonable.
Well, it's unreasonable to find a chicken without bones.
Not if you're the customer at a restaurant. Eating a chicken that is printed on the menu, it would be one thing.
I
would still be on the customer side of this if he ordered chicken fingers, if he ordered a chicken nugget, if he ordered a chicken breast sandwich. I would still be on the side of the customer. It makes it even more egregious that literally on the menu what he ordered said the word boneless.
I mean, I feel two ways on this. Yes, if it's a boneless chicken wing, you do assume that it is boneless, and maybe you should put just on the menu. You know what else they put on the menu? Consuming raw foods, yada, yada, yada. They should put a disclaimer on the menu. Might not be boneless.
No, I would never eat there.
However, as much as I think if you're eating anything from an animal, you should not be surprised. It's not unreasonable to think that a bone might have slipped through. However, in this situation, a boneless chicken wing that a supplier gave to the restaurant, I really think you're just, oh, so I'm going to sue the restaurant. Now, if the restaurant wants the money back, they have to go after the supplier. I don't know why you would just not cut out the middleman. It is not.
Because that leaves the restaurant off the hook. The restaurant has to bear some responsibility.
What are you paying the supplier for?
That's your fault. It's your fault as a restaurant. You, as a restaurant, are responsible for the food that goes on that person's plate. But you can't just say, oh, well, I had nothing to do with it. I just took this bag out of the freezer and dumped it in the fryer.
But for a lot of restaurants, this is just an item to get people in the door, right? It's not like, I don't know. I don't know what the restaurant was. But I don't see why you would hassle them when they aren't the problem? And most people would assume the restaurant didn't make the boneless chicken wings.
They prepared it.
They put it in a fryer.
They are responsible for preparing it. Patrick in Buffalo, you're on WBEN.
Beamer is correct. The restaurant should not be responsible. Those items, the customer understands when they're ordering that they're not ordering a bone-in chicken strip or wing. Boneless wings is a marketing term. They're actually chicken fingers. So the customer understands that. The restaurant brings those in by the cases. They then take them. They're called RTC, ready to cook. So the cook grabs them out of the freezer for the next order, puts them into the fryer, and cooks them. That's all the restaurant's doing. They're not preparing anything. It's not like a piece of chicken that you're buying, you know, a boneless chicken dinner with the potatoes and the vegetables. You're just buying the chicken fingers. That's all it is. And they're ready to go. They're bone, they're skin, and they're breaded. And that's it. So the restaurant should not be held responsible. That would go back to the manufacturer or the shipper.
But Patrick, the restaurant is who served the food. Food that was inedible.
It has nothing to do with who's serving it. It has to do with the manufacturer telling the restaurant these are boneless. The restaurant's not at fault.
That's the restaurant's issue to take to the manufacturer then. As a consumer, I have no interaction with the manufacturer. And Patrick, thanks for the call. I'm not going to whoever supplies the chicken fingers to the restaurant. I'm not ordering from them. I'm ordering from the restaurant. And if you as a restaurant don't want to meticulously go through every piece of chicken that you get, that's your choice.
A frozen piece of chicken?
And you're leaving it up to chance. And you
but that's
can,
what you pay for. You're paying for
okay, then,
quality.
Then you can take it up with the manufacturer. And you know what? You take them to court. I would rule in the restaurant's favor. But it can't work that way where you just put the restaurant off.
But I think it can. Let's go to... I'm trying to find an analogy here, and I can't find one that works. But you get in a car accident. You're not suing the person. You're suing their insurance company. You're cutting out the middle person, most likely. Not all accidents, but you get the gist. You're going after their insurance company to pay for your damages. You're not going after the person. They don't have any money.
But you are going after the person. The insurance company is covering the person.
Right. Who's covering
the
rest?
It's the same with the rest. Their insurance.
But they didn't do anything wrong. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yes, they did. They served you food that was not what was advertised on the menu and that caused injury to you.
Yes,
they did something wrong.
I have two problems with this. I think the supplier definitely is to blame here. I also believe if you're getting anything with real chicken, now, if you want the old recipe where they just shred everything up and then form chicken bites, fine. But if you're getting something with real chicken, there has to be some assumption or some understanding that a bone could be there somewhere. Unless you want someone feeling your food with their fingers as they bring it out to your table.
There's not in this. You don't get any piece of meat from a restaurant and eat it. I mean, it's just so disingenuous to say that every time you get a burger, a chicken breast sandwich, a chicken finger,
burger's different.
Something like that, that you're carefully eating it because you think that a bone might be inside.
A burger's different.
When you go to Chick-fil-A, Joe, are you eating that and saying, oh, I got to take each bite very carefully, make sure I chew it 20,000 times because I might swallow a bone here?
I'm not, but I can guarantee you that I'm not bringing a lawsuit if there's a bone in there.
If you choke on a bone and your throat gets carved up.
I was having a piece of chicken.
And you almost die. You're just going to be like, you know what? That's my bad
just
for not
like
paying attention.
Last week, my wife's going to laugh because I've been bringing these up. I had the most delicious fish tacos I've ever had last Friday at a place in Tyson Corner. Now, let me tell you, delicious, but it's pieces of a fish. If I had bitten into a bone, I'm not going to go after the place in the food court. It was a fish. I understand that at some point in this fish's life, it had a bone when it was swimming around. And you know what? I'm not happy, but I understand at least they served me something that was fresh and was real.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't come out of a 3D printer.
No. Then you have to have that standard for everything that ever had a bone in it ever. Every hamburger you eat,
but
every
hamburgers
chicken
are different.
Sandwich,
hamburgers,
how is it different?
It's ground beef.
It's beef. It had
have
a
ever,
bone in it.
You ever heard of a bone getting through the shredder, the grinder? When they're making ground
beef? I've never
beef.
Heard of a bone in a chicken finger until this guy choked on one in Ohio.
I guarantee this has happened before.
Why would it be any different? You say it's processed. It's all processed.
Yeah, but...
It's processed and prepared. Part of the preparation is making sure that there's not a bone I can choke on in the middle of my sandwich.
I'm not saying it. I'm saying that I don't think a bone would get through the chipper or the shredder when they're shredding the ground beef. That's the point I was making. When they're grounding the beef, usually the bones get taken care of. Is the point I was making. I don't think you're going to hear about a bone in someone's burger.
I didn't think I was going to hear about a bone in a boneless wing.
But it's more understandable than in a burger.
No, it's not.
It's not processed chicken, by the way. It's not ultra-processed chicken. This is coming from the chicken.
Oh, give me a break. Eat a chicken nugget.
This isn't chicken nugget. This is a boneless, this is a boneless chicken wing. It's breaded piece of chicken. It's like you taking that chicken breast at home, cutting it into pieces, and putting some bread on it.
Oh, you don't know that.
I assume that. And you know what? If there's a bone in it, I feel pretty good about saying that.
Chuck in Hamburg, you're on WBEN. Chuck, what's up?
Hey, I worked in the restaurant industry for quite a while, and there's no way that a cook would know whether or not there's a bone in one of those boneless chicken wings. They're just like a nugget. They all look the same. Drop them in the fryer. And whenever there's like a recall on chicken, like Tyson... they don't go after Tops or Wegmans. They tell you that it's a Tyson recall or whoever made the chicken. So I don't agree that the restaurant would be liable for that.
I think the thing that you might be confusing, Chuck, is you're mentioning the cook. I'm not saying that the cook is responsible. I'm saying the restaurant should be responsible.
But the cook is like the... Yeah. Another middleman, I guess.
Who else at the restaurant's going to test that? Is what Chuck is saying. That's not possible for the restaurant. If you buy these already breaded.
Okay, but it's the restaurant's choice to buy. Chuck, thank you. It's the restaurant's choice to buy.
It's unfair to the restaurant.
How?
They're buying something from someone expecting that to be ready to go. That's how it's advertised. We're talking about how it's advertised. It's advertised to the restaurant. As boneless chicken pieces.
Okay, well...
That's how it's advertised to the restaurant.
Maybe as a restaurant, you should prepare everything yourself.
But the restaurant is the customer to the supplier.
But you're the customer to the restaurant. You are not the customer to the supplier.
I just don't understand why the restaurant would be at fault for making for the same assumption that you're saying the customer has the restaurant made. And that's why they paid the money they did to the supplier. There's no reason that they should be held up, have to pay legal fees for something their supplier did.
And they can sue the supplier, and I would rule in favor of the restaurant and take care of all those legal
fees.
Eventually it goes down.
Doesn't that seem completely unnecessary?
But it has to go that way. And
let's
then you
hold
know
up
what?
The court the with restaurant, two cases?
And then the restaurant can be more careful next time if they don't want to deal with all of this in what they're serving on their plates.
We don't know who the supplier was. I'm going to just assume, and you know what happens when you assume, that's a supplier many restaurants use. I don't know why that restaurant should be, they're going to have to tie money up, and we're going to have to tie a courtroom up for two cases about the same thing, when easily you could just tell the customer, hey, here's the supplier, this is who's responsible.
If you let the restaurant slide here, you're letting them slide for all, like, where does it stop? It's in a boneless wing. It says boneless on the menu, by the way, which is just like the kicker on all this. But say it doesn't
it was
stop
given to
at
them
a chicken
boneless.
Finger. Then what does it stop? Where does it stop? At what point?
I'm not disagreeing with you. On the boneless chicken finger, we can go down a rabbit hole some other time. I'm not disagreeing with you on the boneless chicken finger. I'm saying for the same assumption you're saying the customer should make, why is the restaurant at all responsible for this? They should when they made the same assumption.
Because they're serving the food. They're putting the food on your plate and putting that plate in front of you that you're paying the restaurant for. You're the customer to the restaurant.
Unnecessary expectation of the restaurant.
If a restaurant had a piece of chicken that they cut up into a chicken breast and put it on a sandwich for you, and it was a fresh-cut chicken breast sandwich, what would you be saying?
Well, then the restaurant would be at fault. If you wanted to find someone at fault, yes.
But why is the restaurant in fault of one and not the other? Just because it's prepared differently? No.
Because they prepared it.
They served it to you. They prepared the boneless wing, too. Their preparation on that is just putting it in a fryer, but it's prepared.
There is no way
they're
the restaurant
in charge of preparation.
There's no way the chicken, the restaurant could have found that bone. That's the point.
They could have.
I don't think you'd be happy with the product if they had found that. You'd be squeezing every chicken nugget before you give it to a customer.
Make sure what you put on my plate is edible.
I'm saying with this case, it's a boneless chicken wing. All right, I understand the complaint. I think if you're going to give the customer the benefit of the doubt, the restaurant should get the benefit of the doubt. And why are we going to spend more money when eventually the person at fault, the company at fault, would be the supplier? That's me.
Well, listen, I support this bill in Ohio. I hope it goes through, and I hope someone brings it up here, too, if anyone's listening out there. I won't be in tomorrow, Joe, but I know you will.
You're not?
No.
All right. Well, we'll miss you. Long weekend? I guess it would be.
You knew this.
I did? I
told you this like 3 times this week.
I'm sorry. It's been a busy week. Well, Brian, have a great long weekend. I'll be back here tomorrow. I guarantee we'll keep the entertainment going. David is up next with 4 hours of entertainment, followed by Bowerly after Lucas on WBEN.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.